Yes, I think that K18 for sure was just the most transformative for me. I was testing out Olaplex right around when I started noticing the hair damage, and I definitely did notice an improvement, but it wasn't until I was consistently using K18 for a while that I started to notice a serious decrease in breakage.
If you love hair care, you have damaged hair that you're interested in repairing, or you're just looking for ways to make your hair look healthier, more shiny, more dense, this episode is for you. Abby Young was actually recommended to me by one of you guys who saw her content and thought that she was amazing. I clicked onto her page and very quickly agreed. She is evidence-based. She's always sharing the science that backs her recommendations. She does really good deep dives in ingredients for hair care products. She's great at recommending affordable dupes to products that we all know and love. And she took her passion for hair care a step further and recently got her formal trichology training so she could really educate a bit more on the science of the hair, which honestly was something she was already doing much better than a lot of providers I see on these apps. So if you love hair and hair care and you're looking to uplevel your hair care game, this episode is for you. Sit back and enjoy Abby's episode. So I like to start all my podcasts by asking, what is your first skin or hair care memory in your case?
The first thing I can think of when I started to notice that something was different about my hair and not a good way was in college. I went back home after my freshman year and was like unpacking my car on my driveway, talking with my mom. And she was like looking at me kind of weird. And then was just like, what happened to your hair? Like, it looks so different. And that's when I noticed that I had lost a lot of density. It just was not looking as healthy as it used to. And I never, ever had to worry about my hair before. I just kind of was naturally blessed with really thick hair that always looked healthy. And that was the first moment where I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do now?
That must have been so hard too, because I think of like in college, like having similar conversations with my mom, and like they mean it from such a loving place, but you're like, oh my God, if my mom is noticing this, it's a problem.
Right, right. And yes, she's always just looking out for things like that, I think, because she wants to be the one that notices it so other people don't, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So then you went through a little bit of this kind of struggle with your hair. And when did your like love for hair really start, your love for hair care?
Yeah, I feel like it really evolved. You know, when I think about the things that I've been passionate about in the beauty space, I always just loved makeup growing up, and that just continued throughout high school, college, after. It wasn't until after college that I started really loving skincare. And then I feel like, honestly, it was as I continued to create content in the hair space and started getting requests to like talk about certain topics and for certain videos, my love kind of grew with it. And I think I just started to realize how much misinformation is out there, and that made me want to become as informed as possible and post more educated content. So I really think it was like an evolution as my viewers were watching that kind of content evolve for me too.
I think that's the best way. I always give this advice to content creators. Like when I first started sharing content, I started sharing about like style, which is so funny now because I'm such like a skincare focused creator, but the audience will tell you what they want to hear from you, right? Like they'll start like picking through your content, and you're going to understand what is doing really well and what questions you're getting, what people really want to know from you. And then it's always great when that aligns with your passions too, right? Or your passion can grow in that subject.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't know you started in style. I was actually kind of the same in that I started in health and fitness when I first started posting.
Yeah, it was very clear that people were like, yeah, we don't want to see this from you. We want you to talk about skincare, which now feels so natural given my profession. But at the time, it was like my creative outlet. So I wanted it to be like separate. And now it's all just combined into one. But I mean, I couldn't be happier. I'm so passionate about skin. But it's just funny how that evolution happens.
I know. I think a lot of creators go through something similar.
Yeah. So I know that we're going to get tons of questions because this is obviously a video podcast and everyone can see your beautiful hair. How do you keep your hair so healthy while you're still doing like, I'm assuming you use some sort of like a lightening agent or bleaching service, but your hair looks so healthy. What are some tips for somebody who uses bleach or uses chemical services, but still wants their hair to look shiny and healthy?
Yes. Well, thank you, first of all. It's definitely been a process in figuring out how to change the way that I color my hair because I used to be somebody that only ever got full foil highlights. I didn't even really know there were other ways to be blonde. Like, I literally thought you get full foils or partial foils, and that's it. And for those that have done that for years and years, you get to a point where your hair can become overprocessed very easily. And I hit that point. My hair was snapping off every time I brushed it. I had so much damage and breakage. And that was what really like led me to be like, okay, I need to figure out a different way to color my hair because what I'm doing now is not working. And of course, at the same time, that's when my content started, you know, picking up in the hair space. So I'm like, I can't be this hair creator with hair that's falling and breaking off. So I found a new stylist and God bless her. She really has helped my hair so much and just understanding different things that she can do that are going to help me to achieve the kind of look that I want, but in a less damaging way. So over the past, I would say, 2 to 3 years, maybe now, we have only used bleach on my hair one time, and wow, it was a max of like 8 foils. So the rest of what she's done, I mean, keep in mind, my hair is really long. So like the ends, there's still bleach in here from when I used to get my hair bleached. But what she switched to is something called a high lift tint. And I'm not super familiar with it because I'm not an expert in hair coloring or anything like that. That's something that will only work for you if you have naturally lighter hair. So like if you have black hair naturally, mm-hmm, it's not going to lighten to the level that you want. You would need bleach, but something to ask your stylist about for sure. If you are naturally a blonde like I am, but I just am a very dark, cool toned blonde, then that may be something that works for you. And she told me it's less damaging than bleach. So again, I'm not an expert on that, but that is something that I think has helped, along with the fact that I just was then able to go longer between coloring services. Whereas before, you know, if you're getting bleach like I was, you have to go pretty often to keep it up and to maintain it.
Yeah, absolutely. And have there been any like products that you've incorporated into your at-home routine that you feel have helped with the damage you were getting from bleaching services?
Yes, I think that K18 for sure was just the most transformative for me. I was testing out Olaplex right around when I started noticing the hair damage, and I definitely did notice an improvement, but it wasn't until I was consistently using K18 for a while that I started to notice a serious decrease in breakage. Yeah, so I would say that's another one.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that one too. And I know we've spoken before about like hair treatments, and there's so many good ones out there, but it's just so hard to compare anything to K18 because the technology is just like so superior and advanced, and it's just such a great product.
Yep, I totally agree.
So if someone's listening to this and they're like a shampoo and conditioner girl, that is as far as their hair care routine goes, they're not using any treatment products, they're not using any leave-in treatments. Let's say their hair it's not severely damaged, but it's definitely could use a little bit of help. What are like 1 to 2 products that you would add in from just someone who's using shampoo and conditioner that won't be too overwhelming, but that will make a difference?
So I don't think that you need something like K18 if, like you said, in this situation, their hair's not super damaged. I don't know that you're going to get your money's worth in that case. I mean, I don't know for sure because I started using it when my hair was super damaged. But I think a couple things that you can add that will really help. Number one would be a really effective leave-in conditioner that is multi-purpose and that it also offers heat protection and kind of does like everything you would want a styling product to do in terms of adding softness and shine and taming frizz. So one product that I recommend all the time and have for years is Pureology Color Fanatic. That's just my absolute all-time favorite in that category. And that, a product like that, even if it's not exactly that one, is going to make a really big difference in the health of your hair and how it looks and feels and how protected it is. So that's probably my first recommendation. Second, I do love oils on the end before washing, but similar to what I was saying, 18, if you don't have a ton of damage, if your hair isn't really super tangly, you may not feel the need for that. But I will say for those people that have tried it and like have had enough damage to notice a difference, I think that that has been something that has made a massive difference for them. I've seen so many comments from people saying that that one product alone has completely changed their hair. So using some sort of oil just on your lengths and ends before washing, leaving it on for like 30-ish minutes, if not longer. You can wear it overnight. That can help a lot with detangling, making your hair shinier, making it softer.
I love that too. Is there a specific oil you love for specifically for pre-shampoo oiling?
Yeah, so my favorite for the past few years has been the OGX Miracle Coconut Oil, or like Miracle Rescue Coconut Oil. I forget the exact name. Miracle Rescue might be Pantene, but it is in like a little clear bottle, says coconut on it, has a gold cap. That one is my favorite, but it is definitely a bit of a thicker oil. So if you have really fine, thin hair, they have that same type of oil in a mist bottle. Slightly different formulation, but it's a lot lighter weight. So I would go for that if you have issues with product weighing down your hair. They also have a serum form. It's kind of interesting how they do the same kind of thing, just slightly differently. That one is thicker than the mist, lighter weight than the oil that I first mentioned. So it kind of just depends on what your hair type is, if your hair is easily weighed down, but all those are great.
Oh, that's nice that there's so many options from the same brand.
Yeah.
I love that you mentioned kind of getting your money's worth from these products, because that's something I mentioned with the more expensive ones like K18 all the time, where it is for sure going to help your hair no matter what. But if that help is going to be noticeable enough for you to justify the price tag on some of these products is a completely different story. So I think, you know, we all have some degree of damage, right? When I spoke to the head of R&D of K18, we were talking about how just living damages your hair. We have pollution, we have UV, we have brushing, all these environmental aggressors and lifestyle factors that damage our hair. But everyone has a different, they're on a different, you know, level of that scale. And when you're buying these products that are a little bit pricey, you want to make sure that you're getting a noticeable difference. So if you're someone who has like no issues with budget and you just want to use everything you possibly can, yes, then these products are going to be good for every hair type. But for most of us, where we're really trying to choose products that are going to be really impactful that are still within our budget, then we have to kind of weigh that when we're picking products.
Totally. And I think that's why I really try to test out products at every price point, because I know that everyone has a different budget. And there are so many types of products that you can find at the drugstore that are amazing, but not everything. So like K18, you're not going to find a dupe for that at the drugstore. That's one of those where it's like, it is worth it to spend that money. But if it's not an option for you, or if you don't really have that much damage, then exactly to your point, it's probably not worth that price.
Yeah. And you're kind of the queen of like myth busting when it comes to hair. And there, when I mentioned you were coming on, I got a few questions from the audience about hair ingredients or classes of ingredients that they're afraid to use. So I thought I could ask you about those and you could give us like a little 101 on what they do. Should we be afraid of them? Should we be incorporating them? Kind of just what you think from your expert opinion.
Yeah, love it.
So the first one is silicones. What do you think about silicones in hair care specifically?
Yes. So when it comes to silicones and conditioning products, I am a huge fan of them. I actually steer clear of silicone-free products. While I have tested them out, I have found that almost all of them just do not make my hair look and feel the same as conditioning products that have silicones. I've done a lot of digging on the internet just to find reputable sources talking about the benefits of silicones and any potential negatives, and the benefits far outweigh any negative. I think really the only downside is that they could build up on your hair, but they're not going to be, you know, stuck to your hair forever. They can be removed with a really good effective shampoo, and oils can also build up on your hair. So it's not like that's something that is, you know, specific or unique to silicones being an ingredient category. So the benefits, there are numerous, but in a nutshell, they're just incredible conditioning and protective ingredients. They form a coating around the hair that's able to protect your hair from basically all forms of damage: heat, UV, brushing, styling, any mechanical wear and tear. And then that film on the hair is what creates that really nice slip that helps to detangle. It makes your hair softer, more manageable, smoother, tames frizz. So they're the best, and they get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep fighting for them because they're great. They really are. And there's so many silicone-free products now that I think people feel persuaded to try for one reason or another. Maybe it's the brand's marketing, or maybe it's what they're seeing on social media, but a lot of people end up with not great results and they don't fully understand why. And I think I just started to notice that trend, like with the way that natural hair care has kind of exploded on social media and just in the hair industry in general. So that's when I started to kind of speak up about it.
Yeah. And is there, for people who are regularly using silicones, number one, do you think it's something that they need to alternate, or can they use a silicone in their conditioning agents every single wash? And number two, do they need to use any sort of like a detox routine or shampoo in between?
You can use silicones every time that you wash your hair. There's no reason to alternate or, yeah, use a conditioner that doesn't have silicones. In terms of detoxing or clarifying, yes, I do think it's important to make sure that you're using some sort of deep cleansing shampoo, whether it's, say, the word clarify or detox on the label or not. But it doesn't have to be something that, I mean, I guess to what I just said, like specifically is supposed to be for detoxing purposes. It could just be a matter of finding a really effective shampoo that has deep cleansing agents that, you know, works for you. And I think it can be tricky sometimes to know, like, is this really effectively cleansing my hair or not? But when you start to notice a difference in the texture of your hair on the lengths and ends, that is typically a sign of product buildup. That's something that happened to me in the past where I was like, why is my hair like feeling really stiff and just looking dull? And things like that aren't going to happen in just a matter of a couple of weeks if it's damage that's the issue. Like, that is a gradual process, or you got your hair like severely bleached. So in that case, that's when you know it's time to use a deep cleansing shampoo, something that's really going to get rid of all of that buildup, whether it's from silicones or oils or something else.
I love that. And so similarly, one topic, one class of ingredients that I think people are really afraid of are sulfates. Can you give us a little rundown of sulfates? If you use them, who should use them? Again, is it something we need to be steering clear of in our hair care?
Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to steer clear of sulfates. Similarly to silicones, they've gotten a really bad rap. And I think a lot of that has been based on misinformation and just not really understanding the way that those ingredients work. They're very effective cleansing agents. And yes, it's definitely true that there are certain sulfates like sodium lauryl sulfate that can be considered more harsh than other cleansing agents. But I think what people seem to be forgetting about on social media is the fact that that one single sulfate doesn't dictate how a shampoo makes your hair feel, your scalp feel. It's the entire formula. So you can add other ingredients to offset any potential stripping. And so when you look at the back of a shampoo label, you're almost always going to see multiple surfactants. There will be this surfactant blend to make sure that you're getting the best possible cleanse, but with the least possible irritation or stripping or drying effect. In theory, because of course there are shampoos that don't have deep cleansing agents, don't have sulfates, but that is what a really effectively formulated shampoo will look like and will contain.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's just so much fear mongering out there. Not only in hair care, it's all over in every space, definitely in every beauty, right? In hair care and beauty and skincare, but in every aspect. So it's really important just to get your information from experts so you can understand what you need to actually be fearing, which is very little, and what has a place in your routine if it works for you. And speaking of fear mongering, there's a lot of information out there about Olaplex and hair loss specifically. They have a lawsuit right now, but even before that started, there was a lot of chatter on the internet about whether or not this product was causing hair loss. And I would love to hear your expert opinion on this.
Yeah. So this one, it's so interesting because I don't know what would be causing this issue. I have some like theories, but when it comes down to it, for those that really feel that their hair started falling out as a result of this, I don't know what the cause would be, because in trichology and throughout that certification, one of the main focuses of that course is understanding hair loss, and there's no way that just like putting a product on your head, unless you are allergic to it and have some sort of reaction, there's no way that alters or dictates these changes that are happening internally that cause hair loss. Hair loss is something that is really complex and dictated by a lot of different factors, but all of those factors are internal and they have nothing to do with a product that you're putting on your scalp. So, you know, one of my hunches is that people were using it in a way that wasn't what the brand originally recommended. I feel like once people started to realize that that product was helpful for damage, they started to like just way overuse it. And I feel like we started to see people like Kim Kardashian talking about the fact that she sleeps with Olaplex in her hair, but the product wasn't designed to be used that way. It's something that actually stops working once your hair is dry. So that's one of my theories, that, you know, they did testing and figured out a way to use this product so that it could be effective in helping damage. And then people just took it to the extreme. And obviously, you know, Olaplex didn't do testing to see what would happen if you slept with it in your hair and left it in for 4 days. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's hard to know, but as you mentioned, hair loss is such a complex issue with, so it's multifactorial causes. And I mean, even when we have somebody coming in for hair loss in the office, it's a whole workup. You know, it's not something that we're suspecting a single product could be causing ever.
Right.
So I want to switch gears a little bit from Olaplex, which is kind of a premium product, to some drugstore hair care, because you are really great at sharing affordable options, as we mentioned earlier. Is it possible to have a complete hair routine, aside from what we mentioned earlier, which is K18 for extreme damage? Aside from that, do you feel it's possible to have an entire drugstore routine and get really great results? Or is it something that you have to mix and match?
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely possible. I'm trying to think if there's anything aside from K18. I mean, of course, there are higher end products that I love and would reach for over drugstore. But if I was not able to use them again, I still would have great hair. I still would be able to get great results with just affordable products for sure.
What are some of your go-tos? Like maybe a sample regimen, a sample hair care regimen, like pick any hair and scalp type that you choose and like give us a sample regimen from the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for pre-shampoo oil, we already talked about the OGX coconut oil. So that would be step one. For shampoo, when it comes to clarifying shampoos, some that I really love include Pantene Volume and Body, which is not technically clarifying, but is the most deep cleansing I've ever tried. So if you have a super oily scalp, that's what I would recommend. Something that is great if you have a normal to dry scalp but need clarifying is the new L'Oreal. I think it's just called L'Oreal Clarifying. It's in the light blue bottle. That one's really great. I also think that that's just kind of a nice everyday shampoo if you have an oily scalp because of the fact that it does such a good job at cleansing. But again, if you need like deep, deep cleansing and you're oily, go for Pantene. And then for something in between, I think the Dove Scalp Plus Hair Therapy Clarifying Shampoo is really great. They also have a hydrating option if you have a drier scalp, and I think that that's nice too. And then for conditioner, I really love... Well, I guess I didn't say non-clarifying shampoo. So when it comes to non-clarifying shampoos, the ones that I would recommend are paired with the conditioners I'd recommend. So I'll kind of just like recommend the general set. So first is L'Oreal Bond Repair in the pink bottles. They just recently renamed that. So it was Bond Strengthening. Now it's Bond Repair. I love, love, love that line. L'Oreal in general, I would say, is my top recommendation for conditioners at the drugstore. They're formulated so Garnier has a new hair filler range and I really enjoy. Yeah. So they have a few different systems within it, but my personal favorite is the Strength system. I think that that one's really good. And I would say you'll probably like L'Oreal the best for conditioner if you have normal to thick or coarse hair. Garnier, if you just have like normal, you know, not super thick, not super thin. And then my last one that I would recommend is Dove Intensive Repair. I think that that is really, really nice if you have normal to thin, fine hair because it's a bit lighter weight. But all of those product lines have great ingredients, work really well on my hair, and are all lines that I would recommend.
This episode is brought to you by, well, me. Skinthusiast.com is your one-stop shop for all things skin, hair, and beauty. I have countless blog posts to educate you on all the skin concerns and most common skin questions I receive. We also have a complete skincare basics guide on our shop page, as well as the cutest In My Skin Era crewnecks. If you want to support the show, please head over to skinthusiast.com/shop. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I love that. That is so helpful. And it's just like so reassuring to know that you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on your hair care routine and you can still get really great results.
Yes, definitely.
What are a couple of hair products that you think people are neglecting? Like, what do you see most often when people, I'm sure you get hundreds of DMs telling you about their issues. What are some of the most common mistakes that you're seeing as far as things people are neglecting in their routine?
Mm-hmm. Leave-in conditioner, like we were talking about before, you don't have to use something that, like, I think people get really caught up in the actual labels that are on products. Mm-hmm. Like, is it a leave-in conditioner or is it a heat protectant or is it for styling? But there are so many products that are multi-purpose and kind of can be used for multiple things as an all-in-one. So I think that is something that is often neglected. People will kind of skip that when it can really make such a big difference. So that's the first thing I would say. Second, I feel like these days is a really good shampoo. I think, you know, like I was saying before, we have gotten to this point in the hair space where there are so many shampoos out there that just don't do a great job at cleansing. And I think people have gotten, you know, they've become fearful of certain ingredients. And so they're using shampoos that don't do a great job at cleansing their scalp, and they're also not shampooing enough. And so they're wondering, like, why does my hair feel so stiff and brittle and not soft and looks dull? And so many of those things can be caused by not properly shampooing.
I completely agree. I think, like, one of the most game-changing steps in my hair care routine in the last few years has been a good clarifying shampoo. And like you mentioned, doesn't have to say clarifying, but just not always reaching for the milky shampoos that are like really hydrating and moisturizing, because that's great for your lengths, but not so great for your scalp. So, and especially when you're using leave-in products, you do need that, even on your lengths, you do need that cleansing ability. So I think that's been one of the most game-changing things that I've done as well.
Yes.
So if someone has gone too far with chemical and salon services, we're talking about, like, they're really in a bad place with their hair, what's something you recommend? I'm assuming probably stopping the chemical services if they can, but what else can they do aside from that, like, if they're in real damage control?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, a product like K18 is something that I would recommend adding right away. I think the other thing that's really underrated that I think made a huge difference in my hair is just being so, so, so gentle with it. Unfortunately, when you get to the point of your hair being overprocessed, a chemical change happens in our hair that's irreversible. So the cysteine in our hair actually turns to cysteic acid. And that's like when you've hit the point of no return and the damage is done and you can't really do anything other than be careful so that you're preventing breakage and use products to improve the look and feel of your hair. But that damage is irreversible. So K18 can't even fix that. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a few different things to think about when you're thinking about being gentle with your hair. The way that you brush it is really important. So not just like tugging through it. I used to do that. There's a video, I think it's still up on YouTube. I left it up from when I first started and my hair was wet and knotted and I was just ripping a brush through it. And I look back like, stop. Oh my gosh. Cause that's just going to make your hair snap if it's really fragile and damaged. So that's something to think about. Just the way that you style your hair in general, I would avoid any sort of hot styling tool that requires you to brush through your hair and then also like twist it or pull on it at the same time. So like the Revlon one-step styler, that just combines so many forms of damage in one tool. So avoiding things like that whenever you're able to, of course, minimizing heat and then just wearing your hair in protective styles. So like a loose braid or a twist, some sort of really loose floppy bun, a jaw clip works too. Avoiding really tightly pulled back slicked hairstyles because that can just lead to more breakage. And then just waiting, which is the worst. Like, you don't want to hear that when you have really bad damage. But unfortunately, when you're at that point, you have to just wait for your hair to grow so that you can get that damage cut off and kind of get to a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're speaking about tools, actually, you'll appreciate this story. There's a hair tool company that launched a new tool, and they did like a little tour in Miami, and they invited a bunch of creators to come and try it. And so they had all these stylists from all over, and they were, you know, splitting everybody up, and they were like showing you how the tool worked in your hair. And I sat down and I was like, oh, you know, I was a little distracted and wasn't thinking anything. And I must have looked like a deer in headlights when I finally looked up, because he just starts ripping through my hair with a brush. And like, I am so gentle with my hair when I brush it. And I just assumed that he also would be. I didn't even think anything of it. And I'm like one of those people who like, I just can't say anything. I just can't. But I'm like literally praying. I'm like feeling the hair come out of my scalp. I'm just like I must have looked insane in the mirror, because I just couldn't believe that this guy who's like supposed to be this big hairstylist is brushing women's hair that way. And then partially I'm like, well, he's probably never brushed his hair. Like, he has short hair. He's probably never had long hair and had to understand, like, number one, what it feels like. But number two, when you're so aware, like, I'm so cautious with my hair always. So it was literally just like, I was so shocked that he was brushing my hair that way. But
oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. I was cringing. I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. I was like, yeah. My poor hair. But I want to know, what, if any, hair hot tools do you use?
Mm-hmm. So I, for a long time, I was avoiding most of them. I always was using a blow dryer. So I let my hair air dry probably like 80-ish percent of the way, and then I'll finish up with a blow dryer. That is the only thing that I was consistently using for a while. Every now and then I would use just like a curling iron or my Dyson to curl, but I was mainly just doing heatless curls. As my hair started to get healthier and I wasn't using as much bleach, I was like, okay, my hair can tolerate more heat. So probably like a year ago, I started using either a curling iron or the Dyson Airwrap to curl my hair. And I was doing that 1 to 2 times a week, I would say. And that's something that I have continued to do over the past year. I just recently purchased, oh my gosh, the Reprenizer and Hair Buron.
I saw your video. What is this thing?
We'll see. So it's this tool that is claimed to be made in Japan and like using revolutionary technology, but their marketing is so sketchy and makes no sense at all. They don't explain how it works. And so naturally, people like us are really skeptical, like, wait a minute, how could this be possible? Because they say that it not only doesn't damage your hair, but that it actually heals your hair, which sounds impossible. Mm-hmm. But they're really, oh gosh, just like, they double down on it. Every time I feel like I see somebody post about it, or even their posts, like they stand behind those claims. And I guess I shouldn't say they, because I don't think anyone has actually been able to get in contact with the brand directly. It's just like this distributor that sells the product separately. So they actually emailed me like 2 days ago after seeing my videos. And the first thing they said was like, oh, we just, you know, we love your videos. We wanted to let you know that the transformations you're showing were like, I use Dyson on one side and Reprenizer on the other. They're like, it's best to actually use the same tool for your entire head and just do different blowouts, because the Reprenizer will actually work on your entire head of hair, even if you're only using it on one side. And exactly. What? It's like, that makes literally no sense, because each hair is coming out of an independent hair follicle. So like, huh? What? And so I'm like, you guys, I feel like you're just making it worse for yourself, because I feel like they just keep saying these claims that continue to make no sense. But they actually asked if I wanted to jump on a call and ask some questions. So I was like, oh my God, yes, of course. I have a million questions. Do I think I'm going to get, you know, really good answers? Probably not, but I will try.
When you use the tool, does it feel like a blow dryer, like heat and air? Is that the sensation that you're getting on your hair? Does it feel different? Yeah. So it feels like a blow dryer.
It does. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. And I know I get this question all the time, and I know people are going to want to know, what are your thoughts on Dyson versus Shark, mm-hmm. the Airwrap styler?
So I actually have a YouTube video where I could like do a split head test and try Dyson on one side, Shark on the other. Yes. I actually Well, okay. So when it comes to the stylers and the dryers that come with them, I prefer the Shark dryer. I think that it's more powerful. It dries my hair more quickly. It does get a lot hotter, so you have to be careful with that one. But I just feel like I'm able to get better results with the Shark dryer. When it comes to the curls, I still find myself reaching for Dyson over Shark. I think just because of the fact that I have the longer barrels. The Shark also has the way that the barrel is wrapped is not as smooth as the Dyson. I don't even know what you would call them. The vents are kind of popped up in a way that if you have hair that kinks really easily, that'll probably be an issue for you. It's not for me. I was able to get really similar results with the curls, but I do prefer that longer barrel with the Dyson. And I do like that smoothing attachment that they've added to their dryer too. I think that kind of makes it more comparable to the Shark dryer. The other thing though that I think would be like a point for Dyson over the Shark is the Shark brush attachments I found to just pull on my hair a lot more. They have a lot more tension. So that can give you a smoother, sleeker look in terms of styling. I think it'll look better with Shark if you want those brush tools, but Dyson is less damaging in that sense.
I used a Shark like twice just because I was really interested in having like a more budget-friendly option to the Dyson. And I noticed immediately after styling like more broken pieces. And I usually never ever see that after I style because I pretty much exclusively use the Airwrap. Like I wash my hair 1 to 2 times a week and I use my Airwrap after every wash. I really don't ever use any other hot tools. It's like maybe like on a special occasion I'll use an iron like maybe once or twice a quarter. So I was really, I think it was the fact that just the tools pull a bit more and it does get hotter. So even though I was using it on lower heat, I do feel like it was hotter than the Dyson. So I'm not sure. But I think that like that price gap can't be ignored for a lot of people.
Definitely.
What was your favorite and least favorite hair launch this year? Could be hair care, could be tool, could be anything.
I think probably least favorite, just in the sense that I was so excited to try it, but it just wasn't amazing, was the K18 conditioner. It wasn't horrible. I just was expecting to be like, oh my gosh,
More
this is
from them.
amazing. Yes. And unfortunately, it just kind of fell flat for me. Honestly, I might say the Dove Scalp Plus Hair Therapy range. I think I just was really excited to see that line from a drugstore brand and see the drugstore stepping in a different direction and just putting more focus on scalp care. I really enjoy all of those products. I think that they're great, and I'm excited to see what else they do now that they have launched that. And I'm excited to see how that influences other brands as well. I feel like when you have one brand that kind of does something different and steps away from the norm, other brands then start to get more creative and follow suit or be more innovative in other ways. So probably that
I
one.
love that. Yeah. Especially from Dove, which is not traditionally a hair brand, right? Like when you think of drugstore brands, it's not one of the first hair care brands you think of. You think of their body products mostly. And I'm a huge Dove fan. I think that they have some incredible skin products. So I'm gonna have to try their hair. I've never tried any, I don't think I've tried anything from their hair line before. So I'll have to try
Well,
that.
I mean, the packaging is identical to their body care products. So I feel like as a general consumer, you wouldn't even really know how to distinguish between them. And so I've told them that, like, you guys, the packaging is awful. No one wants to be like using their dad's body wash when they're washing their hair. But yeah, so I would do the Scalp Plus Hair Therapy or the Intensive Repair line if you were going to try out Dove.
Okay, those are great tips. I want to do a little bit of rapid fire, and these are going to be product recommendations. So we already kind of covered this one, but just rapid fire, what comes to your head for best drugstore shampoo for oily scalp?
Pantene Volume and Body.
Okay. Best hair mask for damaged hair?
Does it have to be drugstore or can it just be really affordable?
Anything. It could be anything.
Anything. Ooh.
Let's exclude K18 because like I never really put that in the mask category. Like even though it's called a mask, I never really put that in that category, but
Agreed. Oh my gosh. Best hair mask for damaged hair. So for pricier, I feel like if you're looking for something that's like a thick, deep conditioning mask, the Amika The Cure mask is really, really nice, but that is thick. So you're not going to love it if you have thin hair or fine hair. One that popped into my head is the Eliza Vekka collagen protein treatment. So that's one that went viral a while ago now because people were saying it's an Olaplex dupe. It's definitely not, but I dug into it, have tested it out so many times at this point. The ingredients are really nice and it makes my hair feel incredible. And it's $7. And I've seen many positive reviews. It's incredible. It's just on Amazon.
Is that the one that has like the crazy drawing on the front of it? Okay. Because when you said the name, it didn't ring a bell, but I've seen you talk about this one before.
Yes.
Okay, that's a great one. $7. Wow, that's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite dry shampoo?
So I have really loved the Living Proof Advanced Clean Dry Shampoo for the past couple of years.
Love that one.
But recently, yes, that's so good. Very lightweight in the sense that you're not going to have a lot of residue. One that I have tried recently that I have kind of fallen in love with in a different way is the Amika Perk Up Plus Dry Shampoo. So not their original, the plus, and only if, I mean, I like it fine if I just use it as is, but if I blow dry my roots after using it, that I actually think I like better than Living Proof now because I feel like my hair just like, it's like smooth and it looks shiny, but not in a greasy way. I feel like a lot of dry shampoos just kind of dull your hair and make it look super dry. And I feel like that just perfectly refreshes.
Okay, that's a great tip. Do you blow dry after every dry shampoo you use now or just that one?
I do now because of the fact that I saw such a big difference with that. I would definitely recommend it. Yeah.
How long do you wait after applying to blow dry?
Maybe just a few minutes. I'll kind of just let it sit, massage it in a bit, brush, and then blow dry.
Okay. That's a great tip. Okay. Next one. Favorite scalp serum that actually like has some benefit to our scalp?
Mm-hmm. So the Dove line that I just talked about, they have a really nice new scalp serum that I think is just good for promoting scalp health in general because of the ingredients that they have. It can help to benefit a lot of different issues like dryness or itching or flaking. I actually did a test with my sister because she was having a really dry, itchy scalp. And we took microscopic images of her scalp and the improvement was really impressive. All of the scaling was gone, no more flakes. So that's one. Sorry, I keep looking over here.
No, that's great.
Anything else?
What do you think about topical like hair growth serums? There's a lot of them on the market. What are your thoughts on those?
I definitely think that they can be of benefit. It just depends on what's in them and like, you know, which product we're talking about, because I think that there are a lot out there that just don't really have ingredients that are actually going to help with hair growth.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends on, like, there's so many different types of ingredients that can be helpful for hair growth purposes, but not in the way that people think, because what they actually may be doing is just reducing the phase in between when our hair is released from our head and when the new hair grows in. So like shortening that dormant period so that you have more hair on your head at once. So I think people think of hair growth serum and they're like, oh, if I use this, you know, rosemary oil, my hair is going to grow so much faster out of my scalp. But that's typically not the way hair growth products are working.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And as we talked about earlier, it depends so much on the cause of the issue that you're seeing when it comes to serums. But I do think that people are kind of hungry for topical solutions. And we're not talking about hair loss. We're talking about someone who's noticing a little bit of thinning, or maybe they're not even noticing thinning. They just want like denser hair. You know, let's take out like the pathology of it, because that really requires a diagnosis and evaluation.
Yes.
But for the average person, I think it can be so confusing because there's so many out there and a lot of them are marketed towards hair growth and a lot of them don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So one that I think is really promising is the Nioxin Ultimate Power Serum. That is one that has an ingredient that is supposed to reduce that, you know, dormant phase. It actually has an ingredient in it that's supposed to stimulate your olfactory receptor in your hair, which
interesting.
Yes, didn't know that our hair follicle had one.
Yes, I didn't either.
I know, until I looked into that study, but that one has really promising research behind it. And I actually had my brother's fiance test that out and her results were really impressive. So
okay.
I think that type of product, can be really helpful if you're like, oh, I just feel like it's a little bit thinner, but I don't have a hair loss condition.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Okay, last rapid fire product recommendation. What is the best dupe you've used for any product?
For any product? Probably. So hair is interesting because I feel like it's so much harder to dupe a hair product than it is a different kind of beauty product. But when I'm thinking about everything I've tried, I think the one that was most impressive to me is a dupe for Color Wow Dream Coat. So there is a brand called Hair Chemist that is sold at Sally's, and you can get it on Amazon as well. And they have a product in the same kind of like silver packaging. It's called Hair Chemist Sleek. And that one gave me the same exact results. So
that is such a hot tip. Color Wow Dream Coat is one of my favorite hair products of all time. Like one of my favorites. So I don't know if you've noticed in all the PR you're getting, but like everybody's trying to dupe them now. Like there's so many that are coming through that are like, you can tell that they're trying to like mimic that. I haven't tried any of them because I'm so like, it's one of those products I repurchase as soon as it's gone, but I'm going to try this one that you just recommended.
Yeah. So I think for me, I don't really get frizzy hair. So the benefits that I see from Color Wow are just like really sleek, shiny hair.
Shiny, so, like glass hair.
Yes. So I also have a YouTube video like comparing those two, and my hair looked the same on both sides. But I did kind of like a water drip test to see how well it prevented water absorption, since that's one of the other claims. And Color Wow is definitely better in that department.
So that's good to know.
Go with Color Wow. But
especially here in Miami, I think that's a lot of the reason people use it, because the humidity levels are so high in the hair. And I saw a demonstration from Chris Appleton with a Color Wow, and it literally does bead right off the hair. Like it's crazy. But one of the issues I find with that product is that one of the complaints I get from my followers is that because you really have to saturate the hair in order for it to work. Like you have to spray a lot, and it's not a cheap product. So people are like, I go through like, you know, a quarter of the bottle or whatever every time I do my hair. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So if there is an option that's a little bit less in the cost department. Yeah, that's a great tip. Okay, couple of questions to wrap up. What is your holy grail hair care product?
If I can't say K18, it's like, I just feel like K18 is on a different level.
I know it is. I feel like it's not fair to include it because it's like always going to be the answer. It's like when I ask the what's your biggest skin tip? Like it's always going to be wear sunscreen. So you have to take that out of the equation.
Right. If I can't say that, I think I would say Pureology Color Fanatic, that leave-in spray. I have used it for so long and I have not found anything that's as good as it. It's so good.
That's amazing. I'm definitely going to put that on my list of products to try and we'll link it below. What is your most underrated hair care tip? So maybe not a product, just like a practice or a tip that you recommend to people.
Yeah, I think my favorite one that can make a huge difference is applying hair care products in sections and like literally doing that with every step of your routine. So shampooing by sectioning off your hair, sectioning your hair before you apply conditioner. So instead of like if you're on video, taking your entire ponytail and putting conditioner on that way, splitting it into at least two, maybe like four different sections and applying that way so that you're not neglecting any hair. Same thing with a hair mask, leave-in conditioner, any bond repair treatment. You're just going to see such better results if you're applying two sections versus all of your hair at once, because then you're covering more ground.
I love that tip. It's easy. It's free tip. And it can make such a difference, especially with like shampooing, because there's so many times that you really like neglect the back or like the kind of the crown of the head. And then you're wondering why it's feeling greasy or oil or even like itchy and irritated because you're not removing all that oil and product. I love that tip. Yes. Okay. Very last question. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Probably that something along the lines of it being worth it to work towards the things that you're passionate about. Like even if it's the most work of your entire life, if it's something that you truly love, it's worth it to work on it and it'll pay off.
I love that. I think that there's real magic in being able to do what you love every day. Like that to me is like the American dream, being able to live your life and actually enjoy what you do every day. I think that's so, like you said, just work for it, right?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for coming on, Abby. We're going to leave all of your information below. I'm going to link those two YouTube videos that you shared. You guys, if you don't follow Abby on YouTube, she is like such a wealth of knowledge and she's great at comparing products and being super honest. And then you can kind of like make your own decision on which product you want to invest in. But your YouTube is just like exceptional. So I'm going to link some videos below. Yeah. We'll link your Instagram and all of that information. But thank you so much. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I hope you all took notes because I think that is the best episode I've ever had when it comes to recommendations of products. Like, Abby literally breaks it down for us. There were so many product recommendations for different hair types and different budgets in there. And she's so intentional about these choices and can really back up why she's recommending one product over another for different hair types and scalp types. And I hope you guys love that episode as much as I did. If you have a chance to rate and review the show, it really helps me. It helps get this podcast out to people who love it like you do. And in your review, be sure to let me know what guests you want to see next. I have been loving taking your guys' guest requests, and they have honestly been some of my favorite guests that I never would have even known existed if you hadn't brought them to my attention. So thank you for taking the time to do that, and definitely let me know in your review of the show who you want to see next. And I'll talk to you next week, Skinthusiasts.